You are listening to An Unexpected Fight, a pediatric cancer podcast. My name is Tiffany McConathy.
And I'm Katrina Withers, and we will be your host. Thank you for joining us today. We have an exciting episode for you.
Hey, y'all, Tiffany again. I just wanted to let you know that obviously we're new to podcasting, and this episode is a little bit long, but I hope you stay around and listen to the whole thing. But I will tell you that there is a little bit of choppiness in the recordings, and I'm so sorry for that. But we are getting better each time, and we hope that you'll hang around and listen. Back to the show. Okay, y'all, bear with me. Today's topic is going to be a little bit heavy, but here we are talking about the hard stuff.
Did you know nearly 10,000 children will be diagnosed with cancer this year, and over 1,000 are expected to die from cancer in 2023 in the U.S., over 100,000 worldwide? Every 2 minutes, a child is diagnosed with cancer. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease among children. Cancer alone represents nearly half of the top seven causes of death by disease in children, age 0 to 19. There are 70 potential life years lost on average when a child dies of cancer, compared to 14 potential life years lost for adults. Brain cancer represents 29.9% of total childhood cancer deaths, while leukemia accounts for 24.9%.
Why are we spouting off statistics about childhood cancer death? First, we want these statistics to change. That's why we're doing this podcast. We have to create awareness. Without awareness, people continue to live in blissful ignorance, and I refuse for that to be an excuse. Secondly, if you stumbled upon this podcast, there's a good chance you know someone, follow someone on social media, or have some kind of personal experience with childhood cancer. One thing I experienced about being a bereaved parent is an onslaught of comments of people trying to heal my grieving heart. But unfortunately, grief doesn't work that way, and some of the comments left me puzzled and sad. So today, I want to talk about what not to say to a grieving parent. But this does not apply to just grieving parents. This can apply to anyone. We'd like to welcome Victoria Porter to the podcast.
Victoria is a licensed clinical social worker and owner of Garland County Downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas. She worked for several years in hospice and bereavement care and is now a grief therapist specializing in grief and loss only. She is a certified compassionate bereavement care provider and an advanced palliative and hospice social work certified provider. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, Tiffany and Katrina. Thanks, ladies, for having me on to talk about such an important topic. Just a little bit about me. I'm not from Hot Springs. My husband and I moved here, I guess it's about 6 years ago now. I began working in hospice, and while working in hospice, I was also a bereavement coordinator. And as I was working with these families after their loved one died, I was having a really hard time referring these families to someone specializing in grief. I saw that there was a need for that, so I took the initiative, got some certifications. I now specialize in grief and loss only. And it's truly a calling, right? Meaningful work that I feel is important. And I know that I'm sure that you guys are going to agree with that, right? There's such a need for grief Absolutely. Therapy right now.
Absolutely. That's got to be such a tough job. So I'm sure many people say, like, I could never do what you do. How would you even respond to that?
That's interesting because, you know, I heard that even more whenever I worked in hospice. But the reality of that is that it's so incredibly beautiful, the things that we see and the work that we do. You know, it's more difficult, absolutely, but also more meaningful. And to just be able to help someone struggling with these types of issues and if I can just help one person deal with this time in their life better, then I feel like I have accomplished something. And that's just makes me feel proud of something that I can help people And so, you know, basically that's it. I just want to help someone realize that it doesn't have to be this hard. You're not alone going through this. There is help out there.
That's incredible.
I love that. You know, as a practitioner, I also deal a lot with anticipatory grief, and I try to get patients and grief counselors. And really, like you said, there's not a lot out there for that. And so, you know, you've chosen that as your career path and to help those that are grieving. But now let's get into the nitty gritty. A grief parent. To preface this by saying there is a good chance that many of you have said one of these things or something similar to a grieving person. I feel for the moment. Your intentions are good, but that's why we're talking about it, to hopefully to think more speak. So I have compiled comments that you've cancer parents. So I'm going to start with the first. People saying I couldn't do it if I was in your shoes, or I would not be able to live. This is probably one of the most irritating. I didn't get a choice if I was this life or not. And I certainly wouldn't have picked it. So, yes, you would do it if you were in my shoes. You can't crumble over either way and just quit living life. So you have to keep going. But I think what people really mean when they say this is, and imagine what you're going through, but I don't want to. And I think that more of an accurate statement, they can't imagine, because you can't imagine, but you don't want to.
What are you? It's not like, well, you know, for me as a grief therapist, it's not like it's a contagious disease or something, right? It's almost like if I acknowledge that someone else's child died, that means that my child might die, right? I think it's just people are so afraid of kind of stepping into that possibility, right? It's like there's just this mental block. I don't even want to acknowledge that children die young, right? And I know in my practice, I often hear people say they get really irritated whenever someone tells them, oh, you're so strong. Right. I mean, is that something that y'all have heard?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
More time.
Yes. And actually, yeah. To that point, that's one of my next comments. You're so strong. In words of Brittany Williams, mother of Ben, she stated, it makes me feel like I'm not grieving the way I should be. Every time I talk about him, I should be breaking into tears. They do not know how hard it is and how much I hurt. It's like they're saying that they would be more devastated than I am if they lost.
Almost kind of negating how difficult that is, right?
Right.
That just to get up and function in the day, just to get through the next hour, right? It is such a struggle. And for someone to say, oh, you're so strong, whenever really on the inside, they're completely falling apart, right? And we just kind of still, like you said, you can't just crumble. And even if you want to, you can't just stay in your bed all day, right? You can't just keep the blinds closed and you have to get up and go to work. You know, a lot of times bereavement time off at work might be, what, 2 weeks? Sometimes not even that long, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, don't say don't say you're so strong. It is not helpful at all.
Okay.
Well, another one is he or she is in a better place. And from Lacey Johnson, she says, actually, we have a really loving home with parents and siblings that miss her so much and so badly. We have a huge support system of people that have become like family that wrapped her arms around her and us, and she had it pretty great here. This was Savannah Johnson's mom's words, and that's not even fair either, because, you know, day to day, we feel like, no, we want them here. You know, they were fine here. Why should they be in a better place when this was perfectly fine?
Right. There's no better place than for them to be here with us, right? And I think you really have to be careful saying statements like this around children as well. I know that's kind of a whole separate podcast, but whenever you say they're in a better place, you know, for a child to hear that, it's like, oh, well, maybe I need to be in the better place too, right? So any type of statement like that is just not helpful in any way.
Yeah, I never even thought about it like that. And I'm sure, you know, people have said that around my kids and I never thought twice about it, but that makes so much sense.
It's very confusing for children who don't understand the intention behind a statement like that, right? Because,
right,
you know, we understand the intention behind all of these statements is because they love us. They want us to feel better. Let's try and say something to make them feel better. But the reality is you're not going to say anything to a grieving person that's going to make
just stop trying.
Right.
Let's just stop trying to say it. It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Whenever I'm confronted but whenever I'm talking to a parent who has lost a child, and especially recently, I always like to reach out to tell them that I am thinking about them, and I always preface, nothing I say to you right now is going to make this hurt any less. So I feel like I try to make these statements. You know, one of them that we hear a lot is, it's all part of God's plan. Well, you know, and I believe in God, and I know where it is, but being part of God's plan doesn't make me feel any better. You know, he didn't need her more than me. He already had her. She was already his. And so I feel like I didn't get enough time with her. Now, being part of God is great and all, but it really is just not helpful to hear that.
Yeah. As a grief counselor, that is one of the things that most people struggle with whenever they come in. It's people who do have faith. There's no way to rationalize this being part of a plan that it, right, because we are hurting so bad and we're suffering so much and we just want our child with us. And how can that be part of God's plan, right? So I think the struggle with that, and maybe even sometimes the guilt with questioning, how can this be part of God's plan? I've heard people say, maybe I wasn't strong enough. You know, my miracle didn't happen. I didn't pray hard enough. Am I not faithful enough, right? These are all things that whenever we, with good intention, say these things to help people feel better, it is actually kind of creating this a turmoil inside them about, this just doesn't make sense to me, right?
Yes, I that thought process.
It's a common, I think, and just normalizing that process as well. It's normal to question, how does God fit into the death of my child, right? It's normal.
Absolutely. I've seen many struggle with their faith, and after that, I think not, they come around to it, but part of me wonders, is it will say this is part of God's plan that creates, like you were saying, that turmoil within them. How, why my child? Why not somebody else's child?
Right. And I agree. I think that most people come to a different perhaps relationship with God or understanding of how God fits into their life. But that's just part of this process, right? Sometimes people, I think you would agree that their faith can be so much deeper and more meaningful because this happened, but it is a normal process to question that. And it takes time, right? This can be a years long process. So, you know, let's not try and rush this and feel guilt about questioning or being angry at God, right? That is all normal.
Well, and I think, absolutely, you know, like you just said, Tiff and I struggled hard. I know I got very angry after Nora died because I was the one, you know, praying for her miracle. And, you know, I just knew she was going to be such a big testimony. And I was angry when that did not happen. I mean, I got angry. And yes, that's part of it. But, you know, and then somebody does say, well, it's God's plan. But no, he promises he's going to heal her. You know, he did in a different way, but it really, really tested my faith. But, you know, a year later, Tiff and I have looked back on that and we've both agreed, you know, we realize that because of this journey, that is giving us a different calling. And that's to help these other kids and these other families that are having to deal with this and navigate this journey. And, you know, we didn't see that coming. Never in a million years would Tiff and I have said, hey, let's just start a foundation, you know, and help these kids with cancer.
Better yet, let's do a podcast.
Better yet, let's do a podcast. Yes. So,
do not my voice at all. So, like, doing a podcast is, like, very ironic to me.
I don't think anybody does. Yeah, it's okay, Tiffany. I honestly don't think anybody does. But I do want to speak to that for just a moment, though, because, you know, I have clients who come in and struggle with this, too. Like, I can't find any meaning. There's no silver lining, you know, to losing my child. And that is definitely the case for some people. But sometimes the meaning may just simply be, I'm going to say I love you every time I get off the phone, you know, with the person that I love. So sometimes it may not be starting a foundation or, you know, a podcast or whatever that looks like for you. I think meaning can happen. Sometimes it can be a years and years long process. And if you are not there yet, that is okay. It may happen at some point. Yeah. So, you know, I think that sometimes some people get angry about that too. Well, you know, there's something good will come of this. No, not necessarily. Right. And it's okay. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm just going to kind of say a few more things and then we can just kind of talk about these few statements. I understand my such and such died recently, my dog, my aunt, my grandmother, my whoever, or we hear they aren't suffering anymore. And last but not least, have other children, or you can have, right? I think I've heard that one several times. And with that one, I really... like, and I think to myself, like, that doesn't replace the one I lost. And did I have trouble getting pregnant? Did I have miscarriages? Did this or that happen to me to be able to have children? So, you know, while they mean well, I think that I don't really know what people mean by that, because really it just doesn't replace the one I lost.
Right. And I'll speak to that. But first, I want to acknowledge here in these statements, you just said, at least he isn't suffering. At least you can still have another child. So any statement that you're going to make to a grieving person that starts with at least, just don't say it. Do not ever let at least come out of your mouth, because immediately whenever you do that, you are kind of negating the suffering process, right? You're kind of negating my grieving process. And I think that that's kind of what you're touching on, Tiffany, whenever you speak about, at least you can have more children. I want Nora, right? That's what goes in, yes, in your mind whenever you hear it. Like, I don't want another child. I want Nora. Will I, yes, have other children? Maybe, maybe not, but I want Nora. Period. There's no at least to that at all.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Just take those statements out of your, yeah.
Yes. And get rid of them. So I had another parent answer my question about, you know, what. And she said she gets upset when people say, "You look so happy." So a quote from Katie, mom of Nate: "I've gone back to work as a paramedic and people sometimes say I look happy, which annoys me because it in a way makes me feel guilty. Sometimes it feels to be over rocking in a corner. And God forbid if someone was to use resilience in themselves." So I have a hard time with comments like this as well, because there will always be a part of me that's longing and aching for Nora. But I've had to learn how to live this life that I've been given. And I've learned that it's okay to be happy and to grieve at the same time, which I think many people do not understand.
So I'm going to speak to this solely, you know, from the grief therapist perspective. You know, something that I say very often here in session is, I feel like coming to a place of acceptance with the loss of this person that I love, whether it's a child, a spouse, a sibling, a parent, that acceptance, I think, is simply that I will move forward in my life and I will experience joy. But at the same time, my heart will be breaking because the person that I love is not here to experience that joy. So it's that acceptance of, you know, I call that kind of breaking open, you know, like your heart is shattered to pieces, but there's so much capacity now to feel love and sadness, to feel joy, to feel empathy for other people who are going through this, right? All of those things are a result of these difficult losses that we have. So to me, that's kind of what that means, that acceptance of, you know, I do have to move forward in my life, but I carry them with me and I'm heartbroken that they're not here, but I can still feel joy. And sometimes I can feel joy because they're not here, right? I can go out and specifically do something that I know that my child would have loved. You know, and kind of bringing them along on that journey. Sometimes people can find meaning by doing that, right? Doing something that they know that they would have loved. Is it hard? Yes, but we can do hard things.
That is so good. I think probably our last but not least and probably most famous is on the anniversary of an event, say it's a passing event or, you know, their birthday or a holiday or something, and someone comes up to you and they say, "How are you doing today?" Today is probably not a good day to question, because I'm not okay today. Today hurts and today is not going to be fun. And I feel like, for me anyway, that is a trigger of emotion. So don't ask, "How are you doing today?" on a specific day, whether of those that I listed. Don't do that. Just don't.
So you, for you guys, speaking of grieving, you know, family, what is helpful for someone to say on that? Instead of saying, "How are you doing today?" what would have been helpful for you?
I like when people, "I'm thinking about you," or "I am praying for your heart today." Another thing that's really helpful, especially in fresh grief, is when someone would say, they wouldn't say, "How can I?" They would say, hey, I'm going to come over and bring you. I'm going to come in your house. And if they weren't just, because in that moment, you don't know what you think. Your brain is just so foggy and you have no idea what's down. And so just offering to do something and specifically say, hey, I'm going to come and so, or
you to lunch.
Or I'm just going to come see you for a couple of hours.
Yeah, being very specific. And I know what that kind of segues us into what is helpful to talk about. But I do want to touch one more thing on whenever we're talking about things not to say. So I do want to clarify that, and I'm curious if you guys agree. We don't want people to not say something. And I think sometimes whenever we say these things like this was really hurtful for me whenever you said this. So it creates anxiety in our. Okay. All right. So I think that we have to be, whenever we talk about these things that can hurt us and make us angry, I do feel like we don't want people to avoid us, right? Because that's hurtful as well. So, I don't want to create anxiety with our listeners that, I don't know what to say, so I'm just not going to say anything at all. Because saying something is better than saying nothing. And I want to qualify that by saying, if you say something and you can see, because usually we can sense. Look, I work in this field. I work in grief, and I still say stupid things. But I think it is helpful if you say, you know what, that sounded better in my mind than now that I hear it out loud. And I don't think that that was helpful. So, I'm just here for you in whatever way that you need me. And then, like Tiffany said, just, can I bring you some, how about I bring you some lunch or, so anything is better than nothing. Don't avoid us. Don't avoid the grieving. Just say their name, right? I'm sure Tiffany, you would love for just someone to say, I'm thinking of you and Nora today, right? That's enough.
Yeah. We actually just made some shirts recently that say talk about them. And I think that's a big topic in the grief community is and the other day, a few days ago or last week sometime was Say Their Name Day. So that was a day to talk about infant and child loss, to say their names and for people to remember them. And I think that I don't think I love hearing people talk about Nora and talk about memories that they have of her or how she impacted their life. And I had a drug rep come the other day that brought us lunch, and we were just sitting around talking, and her phone lights up as a text message or notification or something, and like up pops a picture of Nora on her background. And it was so awesome to see that and to know that she said she just impacted my life so much. She said, I can't bear to think about taking her picture off of my screen. And so
Wow.
things like that that are so awesome and wonderful to see, and they bring tears to my eyes, but I don't want people to be afraid to make me cry because yes, like things that you say to me about Nora might make me tear up or shed a few tears, but that's okay. Like it's because I loved her so much that those tears fall because I love hearing about her and I love hearing her name. And another mom that I talked to, her name was Grace. She's a mom of Ariana. She said, I like talking about my daughter and memorizing her. And I see that with a lot of other parents. They like talking about their children who have passed away, but it makes other people uncomfortable. And I hate that. I hate that we live in a society that grief makes people uncomfortable or talking about someone that's died or passed away. I used to work in hospice as well, and I think learning more about hospice and death and dying, people refuse to say those words. They refuse to say died. They want to say passed away because it somehow makes that more, I don't even know a good word. It
There's
makes
not a word.
it I don't know
if it makes it easier. We know that's not true, right?
But to me, like, me saying Nora passed away, like, to say she passed away, to me, is not a harsh enough word for what happened to her or me. Like, right. My daughter died. And my husband and I even have differing feelings on that. So, obviously, not everybody thinks the same way. So, I don't really know what I'm ranting about or rambling on about over here.
Well, I think that's what makes Victoria's job so, so important, because people don't understand. They don't get it. It's hard. Your journey to navigate. And that's the only word that I can come up with at the moment too, because, yeah, you know, it's weird. It's weird and it's uncomfortable to have to grieve. And Tiff told me a long time ago after Nora died, she's like, Katie, you have to grieve. And I was like, don't think so. No, I'm not going to do that.
It's very true. Katrina, perhaps you should see a grief therapist. Avoidance is not good.
No, it's not. I've gotten a whole lot better about that. And, you know, so I think it's very important what you do, because grief is difficult.
Well, you know, Katrina, it's so interesting because we are all going to experience grief. It is a normal part of life. And I feel like this podcast, part of my job is just to normalize this process. And I love that we talk about it, right? Let's normalize crying. It's okay that I'm going to cry. That's a normal reaction to losing someone whom I love. So let's just normalize this process. And I think talking about it like this helps so much. But we're all going to experience it. It's fascinating to me. You know, people who work in this field, it's fascinating that people are so avoidant of it. Avoidant of saying died. If you're coming to see me, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say that your person died. And a lot of times my clients don't like it. I can see it on their face. And we talk about that. You know, usually at the first session, I'll say, how does it feel to hear that? You know, and they say, wow, that means that it really happened.
Right.
And that's, you know, hard.
That's difficult.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, sometimes I say, nope, don't like that.
Nope.
Nope, we don't like that.
So I want to speak to that for just one second. I know we're going to switch over to these helpful things. But for me, as whenever I'm thinking about who might be experiencing a level of grief that they need extra help, someone who is not crying, someone who's not able to express their emotions is honestly more concerning to me than someone who is crying and talking about the death and talking about what happened. Because, you know, avoiding these thoughts and feelings and not talking about them, it's detrimental to our mental health. It is good to talk. It is good to have these conversations. A lot of people come and see me because the people around them are tired of hearing about it. They don't want to talk about it anymore. Perhaps they're dealing with their own grief and they're not able to be present, you know, to listen to it. But a lot of times around the 6-month mark, people around you are kind of going on with their lives and you're just now realizing that, wow, I have to survive without my child. I have to survive without my husband. Right. So people around you are like, wait, why are you struggling so much still? You know, it's been 6 months and you're just now coming out of the fog and realizing that they're actually dead. They are gone. I do have to do this. So that's when they come and see me, because they're like, the people around me, I don't understand why I'm still struggling so much. So that's just a normal part of the process, that the people around you are going to get tired of hearing about it. I know, you know, let's just let's just say it on here, don't be that person, right? Because so that's the, let's just, this is a great segue into the things that are helpful, because listening. Don't y'all agree? That's like number one most helpful. Listen to me whenever I'm talking about my loved one.
Absolutely.
Totally agree.
What are some other things, Tiffany, that you found to be incredibly helpful?
I think just having someone who was willing to just sit by you, and maybe you didn't talk about anything, or maybe they offered you some kind of distraction, because I've said many times in the past that distraction is a luxury. And I learned that when Nora was sick and Zane and I got COVID, we weren't allowed to see her for a week, and we were holed up in the house by ourselves and couldn't go anywhere. And so I had been distracting myself with so many things, cleaning the house or doing this with Nora or going to the hospital or any number of things that we were going through. We stayed distracted. So that to me was helpful, just a distraction. So going to do something, or, and sometimes you don't feel like going to do anything, but having that person that's going to say, no, come on, you know, you've been sitting at home for 2 or 3 days now, it's time to get up and go out, and for, you know, kind of force you to get back into your life and out in the world, because, you know, like we said earlier, you can't just sit and wallow in grief for the rest of your life. So
right,
that's helpful.
And don't you think it's helpful though for you to also, you know, even if you turn down one, maybe today is not the day that I'm going to go out, right? Eventually, yes, you do have to, but whenever you do reject whatever activity or thing they are wanting you to go do, that person needs to not take that personal. It is not about them, right? Maybe tomorrow, let's try this, you know, just say that. Just say, you know, I'll call back tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow will be the day that you feel like going and doing this, right? So don't get your feelings hurt. Don't take it personal. Don't feel rejected. It's not about you, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I, you know, I think a lot of these things that we're talking about, like I said, kind of in the beginning, many people have said those things to me over and over, and I know that their intentions were good.
Yeah.
But that's why we want to create awareness, right? And to hopefully help them to think about what they're saying before they say it. But they may think about it and think, oh, there's no way that that could be interpreted differently. But sometimes it is. And I think that for me, I try my best to not think about what was said, but I focus on the mm-hmm. person's intentions of what they said.
Right.
So they're just trying to help me. But unfortunately, there's a lot of things that just can't be helped in grief, and it's things you have to work through on your own. But just knowing people are there for you through that is really helpful. And I feel that those people who have said any of those things to me were being earnest and wanting mm-hmm. to help me to feel better. So that's what I like to focus on more than anything, is just people's intentions and not so much the words that they say.
They're yeah. showing me love, right? Kind of mentally in your mind. That may have stung, but just say in your mind, they're showing me love. This is from a loving place.
And exactly. I love that.
Something that people tell me, and I experienced this a lot in hospice whenever I was doing bereavement care as well, they a photo, like now, of course, we can do this by phone, you know, snap a lot of these photos may be older for some of these people that, you know, that are thinking about a parent or spouse or something that's older. A lot of family, friends, and relatives have a photo of your loved one that you did not even know existed. And people, you know, in session have said, you know, someone sent me this photo with this amazing story of what they were doing at that time, and it was so meaningful to them. So I would encourage that is helpful overall. Most people say whenever I saw it, yes, it made me cry. But again, we're normalizing that process, right? Yes, it's going to make you emotional, but it is also a treasure. And it is worth becoming emotional to see this photo and hear the story, you know, that this person is still thinking of their loved one, you know, your loved one as well. So think about that. Look and see if you might have a photo or share a special, you know, on an anniversary date or at Christmas or something. Send them a story about a funny memory or something you had that happened during that time. In my experience, my clients find that to be incredibly meaningful and helpful.
Yes, I love that.
Yes, we have to do that, Tiff. We have to find more pictures.
Well, so Katie actually did that for me a long time ago. And I think I made her feel bad because I made a post about it on Facebook with all these pictures that I'd probably seen but forgotten about. And right. It was after Nora died. And so, you know, I'm like bawling. And she's like, I'm sorry. I was like, no, I love them. Like, that's what I'm saying. Right. It's like, I love that you sent me those, but they hurt to look at, but I love them. So, yes, all of that for sure.
Yes, let's normalize the hurt. It hurts so bad because we love them so much.
Yes, that is so, so true.
Well, I thank you so very much for joining us today and being on here. And hopefully this is going to help somebody, you know, like me who doesn't really like to talk about it. But... hopefully it will help somebody that, you know, really does need to hear these things. And that's why we're doing this podcast in the first place, is to raise awareness to these things, because they're hard. All of this is hard, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tiffany and Katrina, for inviting me on. This work that you're doing is so important. I think, like I said, just normalize this process. The more we talk about it, of course, this is going to have a positive impact on someone. Tiffany, I know both of you do this work in honor of Nora, and it is amazing. And she continues to have an impact in this world, and she always will.
Thank you for that.
Yes, we love to think that the work we're doing is not only going to honor Nora, but hopefully help prevent another child and another family from having to live this life.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for having me, and thank you both for the work that you're doing. So incredibly meaningful.
Thank you so much for being here with us, Victoria.
Thank you for listening to today's episode.
We really hope you enjoyed the show. We have included any resources from today's episode in the show notes.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, or any other social media platform.
Join us next week to help us win an unexpected fight.